Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Welcome back to another great hour of Liberty at Night on the Free Talk Live Network. My name is Nate Thurston. Our co-host is Charlie Thompson. We're coming at you from Nashville, Tennessee. I wanted to dig into the thing in Hawaii. I know that this is an old story now. That's not exactly top of the headline.
The death toll was up to like 116.
So is that the most recent? I actually forgot to look.
I saw it over the weekend.
Okay.
Whatever the news said over the weekend, somehow I had golf on Saturday maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then the news came on after that, and they said something about it. That's all I know.
That's all you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so somewhere over 100 right now, the official death toll, and that's bad.
It's not good.
We don't agree with that. And, of course, what we're getting from everyone is that this is because of climate change, and that I keep seeing that Joe Biden needs to declare a climate emergency, because if anyone can affect the world's climate, it's Joe Biden, probably. And so I don't know what they're going to do in this climate emergency, except for spend a bunch of money towards things that aren't actually going to solve whatever the problem is. But I also wanted to look at something else that people have been pointing out, and it has a lot to do with this Hawaiian electric company. And so I wanted to dive into what actually caused the wildfire. What would a free market had done in this scenario? What would libertarianism done in this scenario? Or just not a state controlled monopoly power company, which is what they have in Hawaii.
Fascism.
It's basically a fascist power company. Mm-hmm. It's a privately owned company. They actually trade on the stock exchange, down a bunch.
So, I was gonna say, did you short them?
I didn't short them. I was looking at a buy area. I haven't looked back to see where they're at right now, but I was looking at a spot, and I felt kind of gross about it. You know, you ever feel bad about thinking about stuff like that?
Well, you should feel gross about are the people who shorted it right before it happened.
Those are the people we need to look into.
Yeah,
for sure. We need to get that report ASAP. Okay, so I wanted to look into what happened with this power company, and it ended up being much more interesting than I thought it was going to be.
You're just asking questions here.
Yeah, that's what I know.
You don't know what happened.
And I'm not claiming to have all of the information either. All right, this is like 5 hours worth of digging into things, okay, mm-hmm. Which is more than almost everyone spouting off on Twitter about it has looked into anything. X. Sorry, I know you're like, what's Twitter?
Yeah, that's what
X.
I immediately was like, what?
The website.
What does that mean?
Saw that look. Before we talked about the Hawaiian Electric thing, I wanted to mention more climate change, of course, is that there was a hurricane, now tropical storm, that's hitting California right now. So it's going to rain a lot, and it's windy. Okay, not quite hurricane-type winds, but
named Hillary.
It is named Hillary, which has been fun.
According to what I've seen, the ocean waters are warmer than we've ever recorded them.
That's what I read also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On record.
In fact, this is California's first tropical storm in 80 years, which, as you know, back then we were dealing with a lot of climate change, too.
A lot more cars on the road 80 years ago than there are now.
People say, like, oh, this is a once-in-a-century storm. Climate emergency must be declared. I'm like, you just told me that this has happened like a million times.
Yeah.
You know? I know that you weren't alive for all of them. You just said that this has happened like a million times or so. Like,
I did see they had an earthquake, too. They had a 5.5 earthquake.
When it rains, it pours.
You know, God is taking care of California.
We don't need to worry about voting. Okay? You give it to God.
Exactly.
Okay, and he's going to solve the problem.
Up next, locusts. It's coming out of nowhere.
I did want to point out, we already pointed out in the live group beforehand, but hats off to the Babylon Bee, not literally because my hair is gross right now, but hats off to the Babylon Bee for having one of the better headlines they've had in a bit. They say Hillary makes landfall, destroying over 30,000 emails. And that really got me going last night.
So good.
Good job on them. So let's get into the Hawaiian Electric thing.
People's you know, firstborn starts, if they just start dying or something, you might want to move out of California.
I think that these are the left behind people that are still in California right now. Yeah. So they're, except for some of the people in live group that are still in California.
Yeah.
We hope everything goes okay for you.
But they're making their way out, I think.
Time to get out of there ASAP. All right. So a couple news headlines, and then I want to turn back the clocks a little bit. But Hawaii's top power utility is being accused of years of mismanagement before these deadly wildfires. So this is a recent headline. There are now lawsuits and all sorts of stuff against Hawaii Electric. And so they're being accused of a classic mismanagementism right now. Their top power utility. By top power utility, they mean the state-granted monopoly power utility that services 95% of people who live in Hawaii.
It's pretty much the only
one. It's like Hawaii's power utility.
Mm.
So here's one headline. Here's another from the New York Times. We'll get into these a little bit later. Hawaiian Electric was warned of its system's fragility before the wildfire.
And white fragility, probably, too.
That, too. That goes without saying,
Of
course. But they were warned. And so what do we have here? We've got capitalism run amok. They didn't care to do anything about it.
That's bad.
Insane.
Mm-hmm. It looks like a tornado. A tornado fire went through.
It looks like
there.
A Galdern nuclear bomb went off in there. Lord.
Man.
But I want to back up just a little bit. So here is an article.
They probably just needed better people in management.
That's one of the things.
What it always comes down to.
Mm-hmm. Biden's climate agenda is stalled in Congress. In Hawaii, one key part is going ahead. So they're talking about Build Back Better and the climate agenda and all that. And there was a part of Build Back Better where they wanted to change up the incentive processes for all of the electric companies in the U.S. This did not end up going through, but Hawaii ended up enacting their own version of it. And so in this article, they talk about what that is. Okay. We'll set up the story from NPR. Charlie, if you want to talk through some of this one, you want to do that from NPR?
Yeah. On the island of Maui, up a dirt road past some very productive mango trees, there's a solar plant with a view of the Pacific.
I like the imagery that we have. You guys feel like you're there right now?
Under the solar panels, Hawaii Public Utility Commissioner Jennifer Potter is sitting on the shady hill. It's several degrees cooler out of the sun. I think 15 degrees or so, Potter says. Good night.
This has been NPR.
A solar company built this plant, not the monopoly electric utility Potter regulates. And for Potter, that's a good thing. For the green transition to work, she says, it can't just be the monopoly utility making renewable energy. Lots of renewable energy producers will need to be on the grid. The problem, she argues, is that traditionally the monopoly utility, Hawaiian Electric, hasn't had a clear incentive to hook up renewable energy from projects like this quickly. That's why Potter and her colleagues in Oahu have embarked on an experiment to retool more than 100 years of regulatory precedent and get Hawaii's power company off fossil fuels. The state has begun implementing a system of incentives and some penalties to speed up the transition to 100% renewable energy. This carrot-and-stick approach to getting utilities off fossil fuels is reminiscent of a central climate plan that Biden and congressional Democrats pushed for in the Build Back Better bill. Hawaii's comprehensive utility reform could be a transformative tool, and other states are looking at it too. To understand how Hawaii is changing the game, it helps to go back to the 1890s, when a bunch of electric companies were competing to power America. In this era, utility companies made the case for getting monopoly status. There was an argument that you could provide electricity more efficiently if only one company did it.
That's normally how things are more efficient.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, who argues that? You only need one.
The companies.
You only need one kind of toothpaste.
Yeah.
Why would you want to decide between all these? You only need one kind of deodorant. State-level regulators would govern how the monopoly utility made profits, and the profit formula that won the day was one that incentivizes utilities to build infrastructure quickly. The way it's set up is the more that utilities build, the more money that they can make. let's get this right.
Mm-hmm.
Companies, they only wanted to be one because then they could be more efficient. And then state level regulators govern how that monopoly that the state approved of
yes.
would make their profits and gave them a formula and incentive to do it by building infrastructure quickly.
Yes.
But today, amidst pledges to get the electricity sector off fossil fuels, wise regulators say this old formula is out of place. Instead of encouraging utilities to build, 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 Potter says regulators like herself need to incentivize new things, like energy efficiency and connecting renewable energy to the grid, often from projects the monopoly utility hasn't built itself. Now imagine if electric companies just had an incentive to provide the best quality electric service possible at the cheapest price, possible price. And that was their only incentive. Do you think they would bring in renewables and all this stuff that people actually want?
They probably would. They'd probably allow people to hook up to their grid and even supply them with power that they could buy back from them if they wanted to. But the
Build back better, buy back better.
Unfortunately, in this case, the company also owns the power plants, and they want to be the only people that are producing and selling this power because they are a state granted monopoly.
Mm-hmm. So on June 1st, Hawaii officially kicked off new reforms called performance-based regulation. In 2018, when the regulators decided to do a top-to-bottom overhaul of the regulatory structure, there were worries about the financial impact on the utility, Hawaiian Electric, says James Griffin, who is the chair of Hawaii's Public Utility Commission. The old model doesn't incentivize the utility to keep down costs. I wonder why.
Mm-hmm.
They're the only one. Why would you need to worry about cost? That will be a big problem for utilities with climate change. The renewable transition and environmental-related changes will cost money, he says. And one of the things that will be needed is to reduce costs so that customers' bills don't get out of control. That's where performance-based regulation comes in. What Hawaii is doing, says Griffin, is setting up a new regulatory framework that incentivizes the utility to both cut costs and achieve climate-friendly goals. For Griffin, a key step was putting the utility on a 5-year budget. It's a very powerful incentive for cost savings, and we're seeing it take effect. That's because the utility is given a set amount of money for 5 years, and if they can drive their costs below that, they actually get to keep part of that as a profit. For now.
In a free market, we want, companies do typically try to drive their costs down, right? They want things to cost the least amount that they can.
Because they're in competition with other people.
Yes. There's an issue when you do it that we'll find here in Hawaii or in any other area where you have an actual monopoly is a way to drive your costs down is by skimping on things that are very important for the future of your business or for your customers. You skimp on things that you wouldn't want to do if you were a privately run company because someone else could come in and do it better than you. Or if you were operating in a free market, someone else could come in and do it better than you. But when you have a monopoly, you can skimp on, say, if you're in Venezuela and you're an oil company and you don't want to invest in new refineries or new ships, or you don't want to clean and do maintenance on them, you just want to get the oil out there as quick as you possibly can so you can get paid off, and then eventually it crumbles. Well, in this case, they're given this this cost-saving strategy where they have to come in under budget. And what do? Well, they want to keep providing power to people, but essentially they don't have to do anything to actually make sure that they're maintaining their status as a great company who's not starting wildfires or doing whatever, providing consistent electricity because they're a monopoly. You know, they don't have to do those normal things that people have to do in a competitive market.
The 5-year budget became a target window for the utility to achieve new climate change related goals. Following models from the UK and Alberta, Canada, the regulators gathered community stakeholders together in brainstorming workshops to figure out what those goals would be.
This is how business is run.
Too much time on their hands. They agreed on things like bringing more renewables on the grid and pilot projects for electric vehicle infrastructure. They also agreed to reduce customer bills. Because of its reliance on imported oil, Hawaii has the highest average electric rates in the U.S. Now, if the utility reaches the goals, they receive additional incentive payments And if they don't, they sometimes get penalties. One incentive program revolves around getting solar hooked up to the grid more quickly. While Kelly argues the utility was trying to get renewables online long before these reforms, he says Hawaiian Electric now has a specific profit motive to connect rooftop solar faster. If we can continue to make that interconnection experience a positive thing, then it is potentially up to $3 million upside for us, Kelly says. If the utility fails to meet solar interconnection goals across the islands, it could face up to $900,000 in yearly fines. So that's a $4 million swing, basically.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Kelly says so far Hawaiian Electric is meeting the solar hookup targets. He says a year ago it would take an Oahu customer 7 weeks on average to set up their rooftop solar, and now it's taking about half that time. As for the larger goal of increasing the state's renewable energy portfolio, Hawaiian Electric says that if they can continue to bring projects online, they could get as much as a $15 million bonus by 2023.
Mm-hmm.
That's this year. Not anymore, probably.
So to
not
get this... To
not
get
after this fire.
No, not...
I don't think they're going to get their
probably
bonus.
Probably going to get like a $10 million bonus instead of this year. To get this bonus, what this means is they have to keep their cost way down, and they have to hook up people to solar as fast as they possibly can. And so if your only goal is to hook up people to solar and to keep all of your costs way down, how much time are you going to spend upgrading your grid or anything else to do with your company whatsoever?
None.
Probably none. Because you don't need to, because you have a monopoly.
Unless there's an issue.
Yeah. And your only incentive right now is to keep your costs down, because you're actually going to get fined by the government if you spend more money than they've laid out for you over the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm. And but if you do what they want you to do, then you're going to get a big bonus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Capitalism.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's what this is. Now, I went through some documents because turns out they did some reports. They have wildfires in 2018 in Hawaii as well. The county of Maui did this report on what was causing the wildfires. So they went through and they did a whole bunch of studies, and they were trying to figure out if they needed to raise their budget for preparing for wildfires.
Probably
in the future.
Yeah, they probably did.
They actually decided that they did not need to raise their budget.
Mm.
Interestingly enough, they did not want to do that. They listed out, wild brush forest fires present a growing threat to Maui County, citizen safety and property. Island communities are particularly vulnerable because populations tend to be clustered and dependent on single highways. So you just read through all this stuff about what they said about the potential for future wildfires. They listed out wildfire causes. Most wildfires are caused by human actions, 75% of which are accidental and therefore preventable. The Hawaii Wildfire Management Association has identified the following as ongoing fire threats to Maui. Prevalence of combustible materials. Those are bad for fires. Poor camping site management. Accidental fires caused by machinery and vehicles. Abandoned sugarcane fields. Poorly maintained and overgrown properties. Grasses and combustible materials along road. Rights of way. Low-hanging failure or shorting of above-ground power lines. Current fire breaks of only 25 feet on property edges, intentionally set fires. So we know that those things. They looked at what areas burned through here. Most of it was non-native grasslands and shrublands. So they listed all that out. Now, what was done about this? Not much. Not much of anything seems to be the proper answer, because it was blamed on power lines and grasslands that were all over the place and not being taken care of is why this place went up like a freaking tinderbox out there. Fires of note, the largest and most notable fires of 2018 were influenced. This is a report from 2018. The largest and most notable fires of 2018 were influenced by hurricanes that approached Hawaii in the month of August. Hurricane Hector neared Hawaii at the start of the month, drawing moisture towards itself and lowering the relative humidity. Hurricane Lane followed a few weeks later. Both storms brought high winds that helped fires to spread. So in 2018, they determined that hurricanes in the month of August drew moisture out of the air, creating drier conditions and really good conditions for a wildfire. What do we have this time? So hurricane in August, super dry conditions, and the same stuff that they didn't fix last time.
5 years later.
Interesting. Okay. All right, a little bit further. Okay, so Hawaiian Electric sees this, of course, and they want to spend $190 million of resiliency spending, meaning upgrading their power lines and their infrastructure. Problem is, they can't, because they're a state-regulated monopoly power company.
They need permission from daddy.
Because they have a new incentive structure placed over the top of them that says that they have to stay within this fixed amount of money over the next 5 years, or they're going to get fined and penalized every year for spending too much money. And what they are asking permission to do is raise people's rates by just a little bit to recoup the cost of fixing their power lines, because they identified a lot of problems. So there's another article here from utilitydive.com, one of my most common resources I go to for information.
Every morning.
Yes.
Every morning. Utilitydive.com for a briefing. It's the Nate Thurston morning briefing.
Hawaii and other states across the nation have been seeing increasingly frequent and extreme weather events that warrant investing in the state's electric grid, according to Hawaiian Electric. In the last 7 years alone, Governor David Ige has issued 15 emergency proclamations related to hurricanes, tropical storms, wildfire, and other weather events. Hawaiian Electric's application to the State Public Utilities Commission asked regulators to approve nearly $190 million over a five-year period that would strengthen transmission lines and critical overhead poles, help with flood monitoring at substations, move certain overhead distribution lines on Oahu underground, remove trees that could pose a threat to grid infrastructure, and prevent wildfires. Talks about how much they operate through their reliable electric grids are a critical driver of economic activity. There's an urgent need to enhance our power systems to guard against extreme weather events that are increasing in both frequency and intensity due to climate change. Colton Ching, Hawaii Electric Senior Vice President of Planning and Technology, said in a statement, "While there is a cost to preparing for more adverse effects of climate change, the cost of inaction is much higher."
Mm-hmm. This is back in January of 2022.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. "The past experience has been that we have outages anytime there's a stiff wind. The grid is aging, and I believe it's vulnerable just in general. And then you have to factor in the climate change concern and extreme weather concern." That was from Earth Justice. That being said, different stakeholders have different views about what resilience means and whether it includes utility-centric solutions like power plants and hardened existing grid infrastructure. So, of course, people didn't know what to make of this. Turns out that request in January 2022, still pending. Still sitting at the office right now.
Still on someone's desk.
Weren't able to do that. All right, coming up, we're going to keep going through what happened in Hawaii between government and this government-run private monopoly. Who's at fault? Was it capitalism or mismanagementism?
It's obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. Members of the Teamsters Union are ratifying a five-year deal at UPS, Brian Shook reports.
That puts an end to the threat of a strike. According to the union, 86% of the members voted for the contract, which will be retroactively in effect starting August 1st. The Teamsters president said it was the best contract in the history of UPS. He said it should be used as a template for worker protection across the country. I'm Brian Shook.
Hawaii officials fear the death toll in Lahaina could still rise sharply in the coming days. The death toll grew by one Monday, now standing at 115. As of Monday night, all destroyed single-story homes were searched for remains. The effort now shifts to multi-story structures. It's believed anywhere from 700 to 850 people are still missing. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million-dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
What's up, y'all? This is Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network. We've been going into what really happened in Hawaii with these wildfires and the government-sanctioned monopoly Hawaii Electric and their ignored request for approval to spend their own money to fix their power lines. I went into the actual proposal that they sent over. I only went through about 70 pages of it. It was like 524 pages long, this proposal. But they lay out, they have to put in this official proposal for spending this money, upgrading their power lines. They have to get approval to commit funds in excess of $2.5 million for climate adaptation, transmission, and distribution resilience program. And also to recover costs through the exceptional project recovery mechanism, meaning they are asking permission. Where's the number? They are asking permission to raise their prices to recoup the costs. Now, in a free market, Charlie, when a company needs to spend an extra $200 million on something, and that means that the product they're providing you is therefore more expensive, do they need to submit a request with the board and wait 18, 19, 20 months for approval on whether or not they can raise their cost by 30. It estimates the average monthly bill of a typical residential customer will increase by 33 cents, or 86 cents on Hawaii Island and 71 cents on Maui. Mm. And they need to get approval to increase the average customer's bill by 71 cents on Maui.
As far as I know, I don't think most companies need that kind of permission.
No.
At least we don't here. I mean, if you know, if you want to raise the price of the group that people can join at joingml.com, you just click a few buttons.
I just do it.
Yeah.
I don't get in trouble or anything.
It's all fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's some of the reasons that they wanted to get this money. Wildfire prevention and mitigation. To minimize the probability of the company's facilities becoming the origin or contributing source of ignition for a wildfire. prevent the company's facilities from contributing to the severity or breadth of wildfires, identify and implement operational procedures to ensure the companies can respond effectively to a wildfire without compromising customer and employee safety, while remaining sensitive to customers' need for reliable electricity. They've got, let's see, more stuff in here. Oh, they identified wildfire priority areas on the islands. And what's the wildfire priority area for Maui? Lahaina.
Mm.
First place they mentioned.
Kapalua.
Yeah, first place they mentioned there. And then there's their cost estimate.
Stayed in both Lahaina and Kapalua.
How about that? How was Lahaina?
It was all right.
Yeah, you didn't like it?
It was older. I mean, no. I would say, so Kapalua is more resorts. Lahaina was cool. I don't know. It looked like it was from the 90s, I would say.
So,
but it was still beautiful. You're in Hawaii.
Given the information that we just went through, how would you rate this headline, Charlie? Hawaiian Electric was warned of its system's fragility before the wildfire.
They warned themselves. I hold myself in contempt.
No, but they were warned because a couple Congress people in Hawaii were worried about it. Okay?
They were worried about it themselves.
This company was greedy, and they were warned about this and chose not to do anything about it.
This is why you put everything in writing. You know?
Hawaiian Electric is
known. I call it CYA. Cover your ass.
Yeah.
Writing. We can say that on the radio, so that's fine.
Probably. Hawaiian Electric has known for years that extreme weather was becoming a bigger danger, but the company did little to strengthen its equipment and failed to adopt emergency plans used elsewhere, like being prepared to cut off power to prevent fires.
Hmm.
Now, they address the cutting off power to prevent fires. They do this in California, I believe, in places, and people don't like it. People are very unhappy about it. And the argument, one of the arguments, is that it could be too late by the time you cut off the power. Like, wind blows, throw some sparks out or whatever from the lines, cut off power. Like, okay, well, the fire's already started. And guess what? You just turned off power to the water pumps and people's emergency systems and stuff like that if they don't have generators. So it's not this easy solution that everyone makes it out to be.
Costco says they think they call them brownouts, which sounds gross.
Before the wildfire on Maui erupted, killing more than 100 people, many parts of Hawaiian Electric's operations were showing signs of stress, and state lawmakers, consumer groups, and county officials were saying that the company needed to make big changes.
They were saying they needed to make changes, too.
Yeah.
They just didn't have the permission slip signed.
No, but let's give the New York Times some credit. They say, in 2019, Hawaiian Electric itself started citing the risk of fires. The company said that year it was studying how utilities in California were dealing with similar threats. 2 years later, in a report about Hurricane Lane in 2018, that's some of the report from Maui County that we just talked about, the Maui County government warned of the potential that above-ground power lines that fail short or are low-hanging can cause fire ignition that could start a wildfire, particularly in windy or stormy conditions. But it wasn't until last year that the company asked state regulators to authorize it to spend $190 million to strengthen power poles and other equipment, a request that is still pending. Attention turned to the company after the emergence of a video recorded showing a power line starting a fire, allegedly. It hasn't been proven guilty in a court of law yet. But energy experts say these calamities and their effects on electric grids should not have been surprising. In many places, utilities have neglected to sufficiently maintain and improve electric grids for decades. And regulators and lawmakers have largely looked the other way. Regulators and lawmakers, by the way, are the people who essentially run the company because these are state-run monopolies, state-granted monopolies. They're private companies, which makes this a fascist electric company.
Mm-hmm.
That's just by definition. The problem with electric utilities in the United States is they act like the protective monopolies in the face of catastrophic risk.
Because they are. They literally are.
Yes. The problem, you see, when we started, you said we just need to find better people to run these companies. If you could find better people.
We need
people,
better regulators.
Yeah. We need better regular people, but of course you've got to find better people.
That way they can come
also
up with the proper incentives, mm-hmm. You know.
To
avoid death.
And Michael Wara, a scholar focused on climate and energy policy at Stanford, thinks Hawaiian Electric could have done a lot more to prevent its equipment from becoming the potential cause of fires. He says, but nature doesn't care that they're a protected monopoly. You need to act like a regular company facing a major risk.
Would love for them to.
Yeah. You know how they could act like a regular company?
Not be state regulated.
They could be a regular. That's how they could do it.
They could compete in a free market.
Hawaiian Electric is a unique utility because the state is made up of many islands spread over 1,500 miles. The company, I didn't realize it was that far. Wow. That's a long way.
Mm-hmm.
The company operates many electric grids and imports fuel to run power plants. As a result, the state has the highest electricity rates in the country. That makes it much harder for the company and the state to invest in expensive grid upgrades. It doesn't really if they can just charge what the electricity costs. The problem is, with it being a state-regulated monopoly, you see, they're also beholden to the voters, and the people regulating it don't want to be the people who allowed them to raise their rates for the power. And so they probably make them artificially keep their rates low. The thing is, you know, I've talked about, you wanted to move to Hawaii at one time. You've talked about it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, it's probably way too insanely expensive out there. And you're like, oh, it's actually not that much. It's not that different. You know, it's not that different. It probably should be way more expensive to live there than what it even is right now.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you.
I mean, you're in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
On a tiny island.
Yeah, guess what? It's more expensive to do everything. You think people in Alaska should be complaining about their shipping costs? You know?
Right.
No. You live way up there.
Yeah.
That's your problem.
Middle of nowhere's land.
There's always been a push and pull on how to pay for it. State Senator, no one cares about his name, said, referring to plans to improve the electric grid, the utility doesn't want to pay for it unless they can pass on the cost to the ratepayers. So once again, you have a company, and normally the cost of operating your company, if you want to pass that on to your customers, that's a thing that can happen. Like, oh, our car, we just spent an extra $200 million, and we're going to have to raise our rates on whatever it is that we're selling. Because we need to recoup some costs. Because
by 70 cents.
Because the cost of our product just went up. Because this is a cost associated with our product. This is a cost with the product. Of course they want to raise their rates.
Nate's throwing things down the studio.
I just threw the laptop screen cleaner.
Is that what that was? I was like, what is that? Thought it was a water bottle at first. It was not.
Okay, here we go. The $190 million proposal Hawaiian Electric made to improve its grid.
If I blink twice, save me.
To improve its grid would, among other things, have replaced aging power poles with new ones, including 80 in Maui. Energy experts said many of the company's poles were probably not strong enough to withstand the winds that hit Lahaina.
Just need some mighty men done.
Some of the company's poles are surrounded by invasive grasses that can become explosive tinder in the dry season. Experts have long warned that too little was being done to check the spread of the growth of the grasses. Those are those non-native grasslands that were in that pie chart that we were looking at earlier.
Also, by the way, these people live on a volcano.
It's overall, it's a terrible idea. The whole thing is terrible, right?
I mean, literally, the Hawaii, the island of Hawaii, just erupted.
Yeah.
Was that 2 years ago? A year and a half ago?
It's going for a bit. I think it goes pretty often, actually.
Yeah,
There's something going pretty often.
These people live in a danger zone. You know, it's not like a surprise. People know, like, literally molten rock. It's thousands of degrees.
Yeah.
Could come out of the ground at any point.
Back to this other article. The first one that we show was Hawaii's top power utility is being accused of mismanagementism before the deadly wildfires. And once again, they're talking about how they did not do their due diligence in making sure that their grid was safe and secure. I will once again submit to you, Charlie, that they had a new incentive structure placed over the top of them that said, hook up all of this new stuff to your grid ASAP and spend the least amount of money possible that you can, and we'll give you guys a bunch of money. And if you spend more money...
Do it not!
Yes.
And we're going to fine you.
If you spend more money than we've laid out for you, we will fine you up to almost $1 million a year if you spend more money than this. But, of course, they're being accused of mismanagement before the deadly wildfires. Now, there probably was some, was there greed? Was there mismanagementism? You know, were they not also wanting to spend the money? Were these people not spending the money because they wanted to get their bonuses at the end of that 5-year period that they gave them?
Of course.
Of course they were.
Who wouldn't?
This is nothing but a bunch of human beings that have a specific incentive structure laid out in front of them. That's all it is. And then we believe and know that a free market incentive structure is the best incentive structure. Is it perfect? No. But it's the best, not only at the best outcome, it's also the only moral incentive structure because it doesn't require any force. But it would have also had likely a better outcome, if anything, because these people need to be held accountable. Some of them will. The company, of course, is going to be held. They're going to be fined. They'll file bankruptcy. They'll do whatever.
There's lawsuits.
The state's going to take them
already.
Over. There's lawsuits.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Here you go. Here's from the lawsuit here. First obtained by NBC News. Alleges that Hawaiian Electric helped set the stage for the monstrous wildfires last week. The plaintiffs accuse the utility company of years of inaction and negligence and argue that it should have had plans in place to shut down power systems before fierce winds blew across Hawaii. Quote, Hawaiian Electric is not just responsible and they weren't just negligent, said Michael Watts, a lead attorney on the case. They were grossly negligent by making conscious decisions to delay grid modernization projects that would have prevented this very tragedy. Hear, hear.
I've got another, I've got a bombshell that no one's talking about that I'm going to throw out here in a few minutes. But the next article is funny, too, because the Hawaii governor has finally taken some blame on behalf of climate change in this scenario.
Let me finish this up real quick. Quote, their own papers say they knew how to prevent it, and their own papers showed their conscious and deliberate decision to delay the implementation of safety measures that would have prevented this tragedy, the most deadly wildfire in American history, said Watts. They didn't get the funding approved.
Now, what they're saying is that they should have done it anyway.
Regardless.
But they literally had a structure placed over the top of them saying that they would get fined by the government because the government was saying they could only spend this amount of money, and that if they spent more than that, then they were going to get $1 million in fines every year for doing this. And so they said, hey, we need approval to spend this much money to upgrade our power lines because they're going to start a wildfire. Like, literally. That's what they were asking for permission to do. And the first place they mentioned in Maui was Lahaina. So the Hawaii governor agrees with you, Charlie. He agrees that climate change amplified the cost of human error. In the Maui. You see, there was a little bit of human error, okay? Mm-hmm. People mess up. But he does agree that climate change made that human error worse than it otherwise would have been.
Yeah. It basically blew oxygen on the fire, is what he's saying.
Climate change amplified the failures of officials to act properly on the Maui wildfires, Hawaiian Democratic Governor Josh Green suggested on Sunday.
People couldn't act properly. They didn't know what to do. They're stuck like this. I wish I could do something, but climate change is controlling my life. I wish I could make a decision, but I can't.
Oh, God. Okay. We don't really have to go into that. I thought that was a funny headline. Now, that...
Well... Read this where he said he just wants to be clear.
You read it.
He said, hang on. This is from the host. So just to be clear, when you're talking about global warming, are you saying climate change amplified the cost of human error? And, of course, the governor said, yes, it did. There's always going to be incredible things that people do to save lives from the firefighters, from the citizens. And there are always decisions made that I'm sure aren't perfect in the moment. But when you have fire that moved more than a mile a minute, and what happened, I'm told by some of the survivors, that they were at the initial fire. It was put out sometime late in the afternoon in Lahaina, and then the firefighters had to go to 3 other fires that started because of the conditions. There's no excuses ever to be made, but there are finite resources sometimes in the moment. Mainly, people didn't know what to do because of climate change.
Yeah, it was confusing. Mm-hmm. Confusing times. That we live in. Okay, you were talking about in that lawsuit that they have been delaying any action for years on upgrading things. This is interesting. In 2014, NextEra Energy announced that they were buying Hawaiian Electric Industries for $4.3 billion in 2014, so 9 years ago. NextEra is the one that owns the Florida Power and Light Company, and they own some other ones around the country as well. So they're big. They own a lot of state monopoly power companies.
And are they owned by Warren Buffett?
I don't know who they're owned by. But anyway, NextEra is going to buy them. Among other things, benefits in the deal mentioned that Hawaiian Electric wants to leverage the expertise. Now, they're still going to, Hawaiian Electric is still going to exist. They're just going to get bought out and technically be owned by NextEra Energy. So they were looking to leverage the expertise of NextEra to modernize its existing grids and to help incorporate their rooftop solar in Hawaii. And NextEra is going to be bringing a bunch of money along with them, you know, $4 billion, whatever the number was. So that would have been cool. They were looking at that in 2014, talking about modernizing their grids. And so I don't know what happened. That ended up getting terminated a couple years later in 2016. So they spent 2 years thinking that they were getting bought out by a bigger company who was going to come in and fix up everything with their $4 point something billion after they come in. Turns out that the Hawaiian regulators ended up rejecting the bid for NextEra to buy out Hawaiian Electric. Why? Because NextEra wasn't concerned enough with renewable energy. Let's see. NextEra Energy ended its $4.3 billion bid to buy Hawaiian Electric, the company said on Monday, citing Hawaiian officials' rejection of the utility tie-up. Per the merger agreement, they'll pay out $95 million for a breakup fee. Last Friday, Hawaii's Public Utilities Commission issued a decision that said NextEra failed to prove its plans for Hawaii Electric would be good for the state. The regulator highlighted concerns about the risks and benefits to utility customers and NextEra's clean energy commitments. I believe one of their issues was that they wanted to convert some of their oil-burning power plants over to natural gas, and they weren't going to be concerned enough with all of the clean, green energy upgrades that they wanted to do. They were, however, planning on upgrading all of their grid when they came in.
Could you imagine paying almost $100 million just to stop a contract?
That's nuts.
Just to end it. Like, like, hey, we promise we're going to buy you, but if in case we don't, we'll give you $95 million.
Yeah. So this is a company that was wanting to get bought out 9 years ago because they were like, oh, we can't do this anymore with this capital that we have. We need a bigger company to come in and take on some of this. And they said, no, we're not going to allow that to happen.
The state said no.
State says no.
No permission.
You're not concerned enough about clean energy.
They just can't get these permission slips signed.
I know.
You know?
I know.
It's like, you know, when you're in an elementary kid, and you're going to need a hall pass to go to the bathroom, you know, and it has to be signed by a teacher. Did you ever have to do that?
I don't think so.
There was a few times I was caught out in the hall without my permission slip signed, and I got in trouble for that. Yeah. Because I had one. I tried to flash it like you would a badge. You know?
I'm good. Yeah.
A few times it didn't work because my permission slip wasn't signed.
So Charlie,
the moral of the story is get your permission slip signed.
What caused the wildfires in Hawaii?
Oh, climate change.
Climate change. Yeah. That's what I just heard too. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, yeah. All of this, let me know. It's climate change.
Yeah. Yep.
If it weren't for those hurricanes that Hawaii's never had before.
Yeah. You know?
But the hurricane force winds. So,
all right, let's go.
That's it.
That's it.
And there, you know, what are we going to do about it? I mean, what's the only solution? There's too many people on the planet, probably.
Yeah, we got to kill a bunch of people. That's the only thing we can do. No, I mean, what are we going to do? We'd have to, first off, I want to end the state-run monopolies. Is what I would want to do.
But why would you want to do that?
Because I would like to introduce some competition in the matter.
That doesn't make any sense, Nate.
I know. That'd be weird. I would also, I would like for these people to be held more responsible for this, like in the market, like they normally would be, instead of being protected by their monopoly power when making these decisions. The incentive process they put on them in Hawaii incentivize them to not take care of any of their stuff and just connect as many new green, clean energy things to their power grid as they possibly could. That was their incentive process. Spend the least amount of, money possible and just go around hooking up rooftop solar for people.
You're just talking sense now.
Yeah.
I'd much rather just have something to blame.
Mismanagementism, I think, is a big problem, and I think it's climate change.
But if we solved climate change, Hawaii would have no more wildfires?
No.
Oh, you don't think that?
No, I don't think that. No, I think they probably still have wildfires. And in fact, what happened here was they had a bunch of this grass, you know, like dead grass. Maybe it died because of climate change, or maybe it died because grass dies. I don't really know. I'm not real sure. But regardless, we have to accept where we are right now. We could talk about blaming it on whoever we want to blame it on. They need to get better at accepting where we are right now and adapting to things. Let's say, well, climate change made the grass die faster. Okay, do something to take care of the grass. You know, either irrigate it and keep it alive, or better yet, get rid of all of it. Kill all of it before it grows up. Then you have to spray like dangerous chemicals on the grass or something, you know.
That's going to get into the ocean.
And that's going to get into those equitable streams in Hawaii, and they're not going to want to do that.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, get the grass before it grows up like that. Go through there, chop it all down, and keep the grass out of there.
Yeah. I think if we got rid of all humans, no one would die.
That's actually the best plan I've heard so far. And right. I will implement that on behalf of everyone. I'll make sure I'll hit the last button. I promise. All right, folks, that's it for us for the week on Liberty at Night. Thank you so much for hanging out. And thank you to the guys over at Free Talk Live for letting us hang out with y'all every Tuesday night. We'll be back next week for another 3 hours of Liberty greatness. Until then, go to BernieLive.com on your browser. Listen to Good Morning Liberty every day of the week.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.